Well, good morning, everybody. Yes, we're moving on to the next section, as it were, in our series on the fruit of the Spirit. And we're talking today, as Dave's already said, about kindness. Now, I thought as we were talking about kindness, it's no good just speaking about kindness. We need an act of kindness as well, don't we, to make it in any way relevant. So if the stewards have finished dishing out the Bibles, perhaps they could come forward. And as an act of kindness today, we have some sweets. You don't have to answer any questions or anything like that today. Everybody can have a sweet unconditionally. Now, before you give Dave one, Rachel, it's not always a kindness to have sweets, so there are some satsumas there. So I'm sure Dave would love a satsuma. Can I just say, actually, the people that serve this church, like the stewards today, exercise kindness, well, at least 13 times a year anyway. I'm sure they exercise kindness at other times as well. But hopefully you've had a nice welcome from these people this morning, and they've helped out in the service. We have people who serve tea and coffee week after week. And hopefully you enjoy their tea and coffee and they give you a nice smile as well. And people who very kindly put out all the chairs for us week after week. And if you'd like to join any of them in your kindness, then please have a chat with me afterwards. Actually, seriously, we are quite short of people to put chairs out. I think last week we ended up with two people doing it for most of the time. So it would be a great blessing and a great kindness if you were able to help us in that. Now let's go back and have a look at the scripture that all this comes out of, Galatians 5. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, or it may say forbearance in some versions, kindness, there it is, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Now, it's worth reminding ourselves that actually it does say the fruit of the Spirit is love, etc., etc. It doesn't say the fruits, plural, of the Spirit are love, etc., etc. So all these things come together to create fruit in us. It's a work of the Spirit. And all these different aspects come together to create a fruit in us, which is making more like God. Years and years ago, I preached one of my first sermons, and it was on that very topic of how the fruit of the Spirit reflect the character of God. It was an absolutely disastrous sermon. I wasn't asked to preach again for another 25 years till Dave became our lead elder, and Dave likes taking a risk and got me back in the pulpit. But nonetheless, though the sermon was a disaster, the topic, I think, was a very good one, that the character of God is reflected in the fruit of the Spirit. And the fruit of the Spirit is the way the Spirit comes to us and builds in us these characteristics that make up our character. And actually, they're all very much linked with each other. So in the particular case of kindness, we can't be kind without love and goodness. I think that goes without saying, really, isn't it? Our kindness comes out of love and it comes out of goodness. It can very often come out of gentleness. If we're harsh and not gentle, we're probably likely to be fairly unkind. And self-control, because kindness can very often involve suppressing our own selfish desires, what we particularly want to do, our own self-interest, And we have to suppress these things by self-control, which is a fruit of the Spirit, or part of the fruit of the Spirit. And that is often required in being kind. Kindness can also involve patience. Very often, we have to take our time being kind with people. We have to fit in with their time scale rather than trying to rush things to fit in with ours. So we have to be patient. Hopefully, we both give and receive joy as we undertake acts of kindness. And it can involve faithfulness. Sometimes an act of kindness goes beyond what we think we can give. Maybe financial, it may be that we feel that God is prompting us to give somebody more than we think we can really afford. More often than not, it's about the time that we give. Our time is very often more precious to us than our money. And if we're in a hurry, we've got a lot on our plate, and an act of kindness is taking up far more time than we feel we can really give, then our faithfulness, our faith in God, needs to come in and place so that we can rely on God to make up that shortfall of money or that shortfall of time. And it can also involve us being faithful to the people to whom we're being kind. So the fruit of the Spirit is very much interlinked. And Paul tells us that it's something that the Spirit does in us. It builds up this fruit in it. Just as a fruit tree produces fruit, it does so sort of automatically, really. Unless you're our apple tree at home, which was a total disaster, actually. We got about half a dozen little tiny apples off it one year, and then every other year all the apples died off. And interestingly, that was one of these fruit trees that you often have that was all the top bit, whatever the technical term is, the trunk and the branches and the fruity bits, are grafted on to a different rootstock. And we wondered what was wrong with it, and we decided we'd get rid of it. And we were going to dig it out one day, and Heather just gave us a gentle push, and the whole thing fell over, which was why it wasn't bearing fruit. Its roots weren't in the right place. It hadn't developed roots, and it didn't produce any fruit. So very sad tale, really, of our fruit tree. We were looking for nice apples, but because it wasn't properly rooted, it didn't produce the fruit. So it's an interesting thing about producing fruit in the Spirit that actually it's a partnership with God. It's not just about sitting back and letting God do it all. In fact, if we look at one of the verses in that particular scripture, since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. So it's up to us to actually partner with God and make sure that we keep doing the right things, keep in step with the Spirit in order for fruit to develop. In one sense, it does develop automatically. God gives it us supernaturally by his Spirit. And on the other hand, we have to do a bit of work in it. And interestingly, Paul almost seems to contradict himself because he talks of these things being fruit of the Spirit. But elsewhere, in Colossians, he says we have to clothe ourselves with these things. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. So three of those things that are listed specifically as fruit of the Spirit, he also says we've got to clothe ourselves with them. We've got to make a bit of an effort in kindness, gentleness, and patience. And he also puts in there compassion and humility, and compassion and humility are parts of God's character as well that aren't specifically listed as fruit of the Spirit but are very much part of God's character and are very much linked with kindness, compassion and humility. So it's a work of the Spirit in us. God works in us supernaturally. to produce kindness and all the other aspects of fruit. But we've got to do our bit as well. We can't just sit back passively and just expect God to do it all for us. We've got to work in partnership with God. Now, Selwyn Hughes has a very good definition of the nature of kindness. Selwyn Hughes, you may know from Campaign for World Revival, does a lot of Bible notes and that sort of thing. And he says that kindness is not a false sentimentality or foolish indulgence, but a supernatural virtue endowed by the Holy Spirit, which pervades our whole disposition and engenders within us a warm goodwill. Does quite a lot of big words there, but let's just go through it again. Kindness is not a false sentimentality or a foolish indulgence, but a supernatural virtue. That's something good that God works in us, endowed by the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit at work in us gives us that supernatural virtue of kindness, which pervades our whole disposition and then engenders within us a warm goodwill to others. I will come back to that bit in a moment, but let's just think of the false sentimentality and foolish indulgence that he talks about. A couple of weeks ago we had Valentine's Day, and I suspect there might have been a certain amount of, dare I say, foolish indulgence going on. I was going through Marylebone Station a couple of days before Valentine's Day and popped into Hotel Chocolat to buy somebody a present, not a Valentine's Day present, I hasten to add, because we don't do Valentine's Day, actually. We celebrate the decimalisation of the British currency, which happened on the 15th of February, which is a great thing to do. It'll be the 50th anniversary next year, so we'll have a big celebration. And you know what? The flowers are a lot cheaper on the 15th than they are on the 14th. So I'm sure any of you ladies receiving an extravagant gift like this, a luxury chocolate bouquet, that your beloved partner may have splashed out 69 quid on, and you would say to him, that's a really foolish indulgence. I didn't want this thing at all. That's what you'd say, isn't it, ladies? No? Oh, okay. And we indulge in foolish indulgence very often at Christmas, don't we? We spend packs of money on things that nobody really wants, and eventually sort of just get thrown away or make us even fatter than we are already, and then spend the rest of the year paying off our credit card bill. Foolish indulgence, dare I say, or am I just totally unromantic and totally soulless? I'll leave that. Marvin's nodding. So, yeah, that answers that if Marvin's nodding, doesn't it? So kindness is a supernatural virtue endowed by the Holy Spirit. Well, we just talked a little bit about that. It's a work that God works in us by the Holy Spirit. It pervades our whole disposition. A lot of nice, big, juicy words there, aren't there? That means it gets right into us. It gets right into our character, so that we can't help being kind. It's not just doing kind things. It's being a kind person. Our very being includes kindness, and we can't help ourselves doing acts of kindness because of that supernatural virtue being worked in us by the Holy Spirit. And it engenders a warm goodwill to others. In other words, it makes us want to be kind. It makes us want to reach out to people in need, because it's put a great love in us that comes of the Holy Spirit filling us. Now, try to find some definitions of kindness. We probably all know what kindness means, don't we? But I don't know if you've ever been through this thing where you think of a scripture and you think that is exactly the scripture that's needed to speak into that person's situation. When I give them that scripture, that will transform their life and that will teach them. That will teach them a lesson. And very often, I must admit, I do that when I'm preparing a sermon. I think, yeah, there's that verse in scripture And I know it's really going to hit the church right where it hurts, and they really need to hear it. And you go and look at that scripture and you read it and you think, oh, hang on, it doesn't say exactly what I thought it said. Have you ever had that experience? I think God sort of has a good laugh at us, actually, and as we look at these things, we find, oh, no, it's not quite what I thought. So we go to Bible Gateway or whatever and put in all sorts of searches and think, oh, it must be some other scripture. And we never find it because we've totally misunderstood. Now, I was looking for a nice definition of kindness that says exactly what I want it to say, and lo and behold, I couldn't find one. The Oxford English Dictionary very helpfully said that it's a quality or state of being kind. Right, well, thank you very much. That explains a lot. The demonstration of this in action or conduct. A kind or courteous deed or act. Again, it's using the same word, kind. It's not telling us what it means at all. A good turn or a favour. Well, okay, so much for that. Nice little definition, I suppose. So we then have to start going around in circles and seeing what does it mean when it says kind. So it says having or showing a benevolent, friendly or warm-hearted nature or disposition, ready to assist, show consideration for others, sympathetic, obliging, considerate. That gets a bit nearer, doesn't it? Showing consideration for others. That's good, being sympathetic, obliging, and so on. I mean, hopefully most of us strive to be these things anyway. Hopefully most of us strive to be benevolent, friendly, warm-hearted. Hopefully all three of those, not just just either or. And hopefully we're all happy to help people and show consideration. Now, my son works for Cambridge University Press, so I couldn't just go with the Oxford English Dictionary. I had to look at the Cambridge English Dictionary. That says the quality of being generous, helpful and caring about other people, and an act showing this quality. So these are all the words that came out of that definition. Benevolent, friendly, warm-hearted, ready, as in ready to go and help, assist, we help people, sympathetic, yeah, that's good, obliging, yeah, putting ourselves out a bit, that's good, considerate, generous, helpful, caring, and up there somewhere it says at the top, others, it's all about others. So we're getting a bit nearer, I think, to a definition of kindness. Anyway, when I find a scripture doesn't say what I want it to say, I can't really go and write another scripture that does say exactly what I do want it to say, but I can write a definition. So there we are, Morris's Homespun English Dictionary. An act of blessing or love freely and selflessly given out of generosity to another individual or individuals who may not necessarily deserve it or have earned it, made with no requirement or expectation of anything in return. Shall I read that again? An act of blessing or love freely and selflessly given out of generosity to another individual or individuals who may not necessarily deserve it or have earned it, with no requirement or expectation of anything in return. Okay, now that's my definition. You're free to agree with it or disagree with it as you like. Does that sound like anything else to you? Does it sound perhaps a little bit like grace? Does it sound a little bit like mercy? Does it sound a little bit like compassion? All of which involve love, and all of which are part of God's character. What I've tried to bring out there is that kindness involves an element of selflessness. It involves an element of self-sacrifice. It's quite easy to be kind. It's quite easy to be kind within the church because you're all such lovely people and you're all so grateful for any kindness that's given to you. That's great. That's how we should be. Sorry if that sounded cynical. It wasn't meant to be. That is how we should be. But it's nice and easy, isn't it, to be kind when we know that people will really appreciate it. And We may be in the fortunate situation of having plenty of money and being able to give away a bit of money without really noticing it, you know, and not really feeling the pain that goes with generosity. I think for most of us, regardless of whether we've got money or not, time is at a much much greater premium. And so sometimes in our very, very busy lives and with all that we have to get done and more pressures being put on us all the time, isn't it, that an act of kindness that involves time might just be a step too far for us. That might hurt just a little bit too much. And, you know, when we've got a nice quiet evening in planned, we're going to sit and watch the telly and put our feet up and maybe have a glass of Prosecco or whatever it is that that you have. And somebody phones up with an urgent need. What's our reaction? We think, oh, I was so looking forward to that nice evening. Do we make an excuse or do we actually go and do that act of kindness? Jesus gives us a very good example of that. I haven't put this on a PowerPoint slide. You know, Jesus heard of the beheading of his cousin John the Baptist, great friend, his cousin. We read that when John the Baptist's mother heard that Mary was expecting, that John the Baptist, as an embryo in his mother's womb, actually leapt for joy. So very close, very loving. And John the Baptist was just beheaded really as a sort of show thing, because it was something that that pleased the people and pleased Herod's wife. No justification to it. So you can imagine how Jesus felt, particularly as it would probably have reminded him of what he would be facing in a couple of years' time. So what does Jesus do? Well, he does what I think any of us would do in that situation. He tries to get away from it all. He gets in a boat, takes himself off to a nice solitary place to be on his own. And when he gets to this solitary place, what does he find? All the people that he's been ministering to all day have heard that that's where he's, and they've walked around, and he gets there and there's this huge crowd. And what does Jesus say? He doesn't say, clear off, I've had a bad day, I've had bad news, I need some time to myself. We read, when Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them and healed those who were ill. That was Jesus' response to being kind. And not only did he minister to them and heal to them, he actually fed all 5,000 of them, which was probably a lot more than 5,000, because that would be 5,000 men plus women and children. So that was how Jesus reacted at a time when he was desperate just for a bit of peace and solitude. He was kind in the most magnificent way. And similarly, Jesus tells us to give to everyone who asks you. If anyone takes what belongs to you, do demand it back. Sometimes we can lend something to somebody, can't we? And think, oh, we're being very kind. And then when we don't get it back, we think, well, so much for that. I'm not doing that again. Do to others as you would have them do to you. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who are good to you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do that. And if you lend to those from whom you expect repayment, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners, expecting to be repaid in full. But love your enemies, do good to them, and lend to them without expecting to get anything back. Then your reward will be great. Notice that. Your reward will be great when you're doing kindness to people who we think don't deserve it and who won't be grateful when we're really putting ourselves out for people. Our reward in God will be great. You will be children of the Most High, because he is kind to the ungrateful and wicked. Not just us that are called to be, but God is kind to the ungrateful and wicked. We think that God should judge the ungrateful and wicked, don't we? We think he should punish them. But no, he's kind to them. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. So that's Jesus telling us that. It's much more of a challenge, isn't it, to be kind to people that you don't like, or people that don't like you, and who are going to show you no gratitude whatsoever for your kindness. That's hard, isn't it? That involves self-sacrifice. I'm going to give you a really silly example. So imagine you're in a great hurry. You've been, perhaps you've driven into Woking and you've got a train to catch, and you've driven all around Woking and you've found nowhere to park. And you've found a parking space at last, the last parking space in the car park, and being good Christians, you drive correctly and you reverse into the parking space, because that's the correct way to do it. And just as you're about to do that, Ronnie in his red car turns up, and Ronnie belts into your parking space forward. Ronnie in his red car is somebody who turns up on a South African radio show. It's one of these things where they ask for your requests, you know, and you phone in and they play your requests. And not many people do, so they end up having to invent Ronnie in the red car, who phones in all the time and makes requests. So when we were in South Africa, we were forever looking out for Ronnie's red car, who usually had a back-to-front baseball cap and was driving a red Mark 1 Volkswagen Golf. This chap actually is called Ronnie, and he is in a red car, but he's a different Ronnie. But imagine that situation. Ronnie here, you can't read it there, but he's written on the side of his car, "Do you know who I am?" So he's really out there and aggressive. In fact, he was so aggressive and got so fed up of driving, he's actually sold his wreck now. But imagine Ronnie has driven into your parking place. You're in a hurry. You're all wound up already. And so what would you say to Ronnie in that situation? Well, actually, I'm not going to ask you to tell me what you would say, because I know you wouldn't tell me the truth. And if you did tell me the truth, it wouldn't really be the sort of thing we should be hearing in church. So I think perhaps we'll pass on that one. But could I suggest to you, what you could say is, "God bless you, Ronnie. Have a nice day." No, do you want to try saying that? Oh, well, it's up there. "God bless you, Ronnie. Have a nice day." Okay, now try saying that without a hint of sarcasm in your voice. Okay, let's try that again. "God bless you, Ronnie. Have a nice day." Okay. Yeah, that wasn't bad. That wasn't bad. I didn't hear a lot of sarcasm. But imagine you're in that situation and what you're actually feeling like. Now I'm going to ask you to say it not only without a trace of sarcasm in your voice, but without a trace of sarcasm in your heart. Really meaning it, okay? Well, I've forgotten what we said. "God bless you, Ronnie. Have a nice day." Can you do that, do you think? Would you be able to do that in that situation? Okay, a very silly example, but that is the sort of kindness that we're called to. You know, it's very easy if Ronnie in his red car had stopped and said, "Oh, you have that parking place." You could very easily say to Ronnie then, "God bless you, have a nice day," couldn't you, without a hint of sarcasm. But in that situation, shall we say it's a wee bit more difficult. Now, kindness is highly valued by the world. We often say, don't we, that what the world needs is a little bit of kindness. The world often seems a dreadful and uncaring place. And there are people out there who regard kindness just as weakness. You know, "Why are you doing that? Why are you wasting your time being nice to somebody? You've got to look after number one. Being kind is a mug's game." And that's how people can feel about kindness, isn't it? And there are people like that, but let's be honest, they are very much in the minority. I think most people do accept the need for kindness. And let's not pretend for one minute that kindness is the exclusive preserve of the Christian. I have to say, and I'm not looking at this congregation at all, But there are Christians out there who don't actually exhibit kindness. There are Christians out there who are judgmental and who can be very unkind, sad to say. At the same time, there are people out there who aren't Christians who can be wonderfully kind. We were absolutely blessed when Heather and I used to live in Gaston Way because we were the kindest neighbour in the world. And we would try and outdo kindness because we're Christians. We've got to be kind. We've got to be much kinder to our neighbour than he is. No, we couldn't manage it. He could always outdo us in kindness. And I see George is in the back row, so I must say that our neighbours in Lewis Drive are just as kind as well. They are actually, Dan and Georgie are lovely. You think so? I think you're both very kind people. But it's not the exclusive preserve of the Christian. But we need to keep coming back to the Holy Spirit working us, giving us that supernatural kindness, and making that effort in a godly way to put on kindness, to walk in the steps of the Spirit and put on kindness. It's a very topical time, actually, to be talking about kindness. As many of you know, Heather and I have visited, so far, 79 British islands. We're hoping to make it up to 80 very soon. One we've never been to, and one that I haven't the foggiest idea where it is, and one that I've never seen on television, is Love Island. I'm sure some of you have heard of Love Island. And I must say, until very recently, I'm ashamed to say, I'd never heard of a lady called Caroline Flack. I have now heard of Caroline Flack, as has the rest of the country, those that watch Love Island, and those that don't. And this tweet of hers is now legendary, isn't it? In case you don't know, Caroline Flack was driven to suicide through people's unkindness. And this tweet has really affected the world in, hopefully, let's hope, a wonderful way. In a world where you can be anything, be kind. People are desperate for kindness in this world. It's a world where dog eats dog. Freedom of speech is a real privilege. But actually, we no longer regard it as a privilege. It's our right. We can say whatever we like because it's our freedom of speech. We have the right to say it as it is. We don't have to worry about anybody else. But with every right goes responsibility. So, yes, we have freedom of speech. Let's praise God for our freedom of speech. But let's not abuse it to say anything we like about anybody. We've seen the tragic consequences here of freedom of speech. Many of us use social media. Facebook and things like that can be a great thing. They can be a great thing for expressing kindness, for putting out good thoughts. It's great for connecting with people. I've connected with school friends I've not seen for 40 years, and we get together once or twice a year now. Wonderful thing. But we all know there's that absolutely dreadful side of it, where kids are being bullied at school, not only being bullied just in the school day, but being bullied in their own leisure time as well, because people are getting at them on social media. Let's really try, if we use social media, to use it to be kind to people, not something we can hide behind to be unkind. Very often when you're hidden behind that screen, you can say what you like, and it doesn't matter. We had a case of this last year it was, when Heather and I were doing some RSPB volunteering, and the RSPB were doing something the locals didn't like. And there's this absolutely poisonous Facebook campaign against the RSPB, saying dreadful things about people that we knew were working very hard, were wonderful people, because the locals didn't like what the RSPB were doing. And they organised a demonstration, and there were going to be all these people coming along and making their case known. And when it came to it, two people turned up. So, you know, everybody else happy to be as nasty as they like behind the screen, but go and see somebody face to face. Well, no, we won't do that because we're nice people, really. So do be careful when you're on social media, not just social media, whenever you're writing to somebody, whenever you're talking to somebody, try and be kind. Remember that person at Southwestern Railway, when you've waited an hour for the train and then the train decides it's only going as full well and you get turfed out on the platform down that horrible cutting with nothing around, freezing cold, and have to wait another half hour for the train. It's so easy, isn't it, to... you've probably guessed, I've done this. This is me I'm talking about. You rattle off that horrible email and somebody at the other end has got to read that. So let's just try and think that all these things you're writing in isolation behind your screen, or even that letter that you dash off and stick in the post, somebody has got to read that at the end. That person is a human being. That person has feelings just like you or I do. And let's just think twice about being unkind to people and just think of what they're facing. Probably the people at Southwestern Railway are tearing their hair out about the situation. Certainly when you get on a bus and the bus is late and you're tempted to be rude to the driver, that driver is probably having an awful day. It's not his fault, his bus. He's been battling with traffic all day. And every time they're late, they've effectively missed the target. Imagine what it's like in a work situation if you miss your target several times a day due to things that are not your fault. And then you've got passengers getting on being rude to you as well. Just let's try and be kind to people. And as Christians, we have even more imperative, really, to be kind to others than the world does. So let's not just think about not being actively unkind. Let's try and be actively kind. There's people that work on the supermarket checkouts. They're almost faceless, really, aren't they? People just don't notice them. How many people on their mobile phone while they're being served in a shop take no notice of the person that's serving them? Let's just recognise them. Say hello. Give them a smile. How's your day? Just spread that little bit of kindness. Makes all the difference. And, you know, it's not just about blessing that other person. It's certainly not just about making us feel good. God himself delights in kindness. In Jeremiah it says, I am the Lord who exercises kindness, justice and righteousness on earth. For, he says, in these I delight. In these I delight, declares the Lord. He delights in kindness and justice and righteousness. Now, I've talked about doing those big things, those things that actually hurt us, that involve a bit of self-sacrifice, whatever that might be. But, you know, God actually loves any act of kindness. He sees those little acts of kindness as well. It's not just the great acts, but he sees all our acts of kindness. I was going to talk a little bit more about the sheep and the goats from Matthew 25, and I thought it's actually a bit controversial. But Dave, when he was preaching this morning, prayed that I wouldn't be afraid to throw in the odd hand grenade. So I will just mention it, that when Jesus speaks about the sheep and the goats, and the sheep going off to one side and the goats going off to the other side, and the sheep being the good people that he takes off to heaven, and the goats being the bad people, who go to eternal destruction. Actually, that's all about kindness. Do you know that? He says, doesn't he? Come, you who are blessed. For I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. I needed clothes and you clothed me, etc., etc. All these acts of kindness. And Jesus says those are the things that will actually gain you eternal life, because you are doing those things for Jesus just as you are doing them for that other person. And he says to those on his left, "Depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. I was hungry and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger and you did not invite me in." Because as we've not done those kind things, we've not done those kind things for God either. And he takes that very seriously. Now that is a very contentious scripture, but it's Jesus saying that. We know that our salvation depends on our trust in him, our belief in him, and our following of him. It doesn't, as far as we think, involve our acts of kindness. But Jesus is saying here, yes, it does involve those acts of kindness. Now, I was very puzzled by this, and I prayed about it, and I felt that God was saying that if you don't undertake acts of kindness, you're actually denying my act of kindness. And what was God's act of kindness? Act of kindness, his ultimate act of kindness, was sacrificing his own son, giving us Jesus to die in an awful way, the most awful way possible. For those of us who didn't deserve it, we have all sinned, but he died for our sins. He died for all those people that don't recognize him, for those people that deny everything that he did. But he did that. That was the ultimate act of kindness. And if we don't be kind to other people, then we are denying the kindness of Jesus in our lives. So it's a very powerful and very sobering thing. If you've got any more questions about whether we can lose our salvation through kindness or unkindness, then do feel free to ask afterwards. But please ask Dave. So, just to wrap up, kindness is a command of God. It's a work of God. It's what the world is crying out for. And it's something that is delighted in by God. My definition, for what it's worth, of kindness implies that we do need to put ourselves out to be kind. It's not just about reluctantly giving coppers to a homeless person, but it's about giving from our heart and giving till it hurts, and giving when it's inconvenient. That's the level of kindness that God's calling us to, and for which he's developing us by giving us the fruit of the Spirit. And yet at the same time, Jesus makes it very clear that even those little acts of kindness that we do are just as important to him. They don't go unnoticed when we give somebody a drink when they're thirsty or show a little bit of hospitality. Jesus sees those things and delights in them. So kindness isn't just a nice thing to do. It is a nice thing to do, but it's not just a nice thing to do. It needs to be the very essence of our being. It needs to be fundamental to our life as Christians. And we need to give up kindness to the glory of God the Father. Amen.